Welcome back to the new Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, The Shaw. You know, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, my good friend Max Reitman. He is the CEO and president of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. You know, Max, I wanted you to hang on a second for a couple of reasons. Well, I like talking to you, number one. But number two, people may ask, so the money that's in Social Security fund is invested? Is it invested in some way, shape, or form? Or,
yes, it is.
And the reason I'm asking that question is there are more baby boomers, or there were more baby boomers than there are millennials and Generation Xers. Well, not anymore. That's kind of flipped a little bit now. But even as more and more baby boomers wind up, you know, receiving Social Security, is that why the stress on the dollars that are there become so great in the coming years?
Well, that's part of it. Go back to the first part of your question. When more money comes into the program than is needed to pay benefits, that excess is invested in government bonds, treasury bills. It doesn't get the best rate of interest, but it is the safest, most secure investment imaginable, backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. So the investment interest is added to the reserve. It's called the Social Security Trust Fund. And one way to think about it in a tangible way is when we had that recession you mentioned, more money,
right.
There was high unemployment, more money was paid out and came in each year. Guess what? Everybody got their full benefits because the interest on those bonds was added to the principal. And not only did everybody get their full benefits, but the size of the fund grew. So the interest is real. You know, despite some of the talk you have heard for years that there's no money there, the interest is real. Now, part of the reason won't be enough money coming in and in the reserve to pay full benefits.
I don't know.
And also, we need to
bring
Max into the program. And you and I have talked about the cap.
Hey Max, we've got a bad connection. So we might have to leave it at that because not unless the connection improves. Let's hear you now.
Well, you know, I'm all yours whenever you want to bring me on the program.
Oh, well, that's better. Okay, that's better. Let's go back to the investment part of it.
What I was saying is there's a cap on wages subject to the payroll tax, the FICA tax. It changes a little bit every year. It's about $147,000 this year, 2022. After making that amount of money in wages, no more payroll tax. Why? We think that cap should be changed. The legislation that we support would keep the cap at what it is, but commence raising taxing wages at $400,000 a year and above. And that brings in enough money to extend the solvency, the financial health of the program, and improve some of the benefits that we've been talking about this morning.
So why is it, you know, one might ask that, well, you've got people who are wealthy beyond imagination. Can they waive their Social Security? I mean, do they have to receive it? I mean, they're billionaires who are receiving.
They can file a form and not receive their benefits. And, you know, I've dealt with a number of people who say, well, I don't need my Social Security. Wealthy people shouldn't get it. And my answer is simple. Go on the Social Security website, fill out those forms, and If you feel that you shouldn't be getting it, you can refuse to receive it. But guess what? They don't do that. They complain about the fact that wealthy people didn't get their Social Security. They don't want to really do anything about it. And in fact, it's important that we, you know, when you're working, you don't know where you'll end up at the end of your career or in retirement. So if we start saying, well, if you do well, you're not going to get your Social Security benefits, people will question the value of continuing paying into it. So that would be, I think, a huge mistake to change the way the benefits are applied.
You know, Max, and that clearly makes sense. You know, you would, but it's easy, you know, to Monday morning quarterback and sit back and say, well, why should Jeff Bezos be receiving Social Security? But at the same time, you know, a guy like that is not going to go on a Social Security site and fill out the necessary paperwork. They're too busy doing what they're doing. So, yeah, you know, it makes sense that you can't monitor that. There's no system that can be put in place to cut back or eliminate those things.
Yes, correct. And keep in mind, as we said at the outset, lower wage, it's a progressive program. Low-income earners receive more benefits in relation to their past earnings, a higher percentage, and high-wage earners. So that's really one of the many beauties of the Social Security program.
But I know there's got to be a pushback on this raising it above $147,000. I'm sure there are people who clearly don't want to see that happen.
Well, absolutely. And you know, those people vote, and it makes it difficult to convince their representatives to have that base. It used to be, you know, in the early 80s, 90s, about 93% of wages were covered by Social Security taxes. Now it's closer to 81%. And the reason is there's such a growing wealth inequality in this country that percentage has dropped dramatically. And I think we should at least bring it up to what it used to be, so that about at least 90% of wages are covered. If you have a minute, I'll give you an example I've used in the past that shows how unfair the Social Security taxation limits are. There's a very famous basketball player, and I'm not going to name him because I did once and I got into a little trouble, but he makes so much money. He stops paying Social Security tax halfway through the first quarter of the first game of the basketball season. The rest
wow.
of that, the rest of the game, the season, the playoffs, the championship, no payroll tax. I think it's a pretty stark example.
Well, you know, Max, the argument from the other side of this is, why should we penalize successful people? You know, and that's clearly what their pushback is. Never mind the fact that they are so rich beyond imagination that, you know, they really don't need it.
Well, this unnamed basketball player, I bet he would be okay with paying payroll tax at least for the entire first quarter of the first game. That wouldn't bother him one bit.
Hey, Max, man, I want to thank you as always. And, you know, I'm glad that I'm back on this early time slot, and the fact that we'll have more time in the near future to keep us abreast on what I think is one of the critical discussions of our time, and even the time after us, because, you know, security is as important in the society as your life is. So, and Social Security is right at the helm of that.
I look forward to continuing the conversation, Earl.
Thank you, my friend. That's Mr. Max Reitman. He is the CEO and president of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the new Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, The Show. We'll be back.
Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. And I say, brother, help me, please.